Frequency Cast. Startup in progress.
Hi and welcome to show number 18 of Frequency Cast, the online UK TV and technology show. My name is Carl and with us is our resident technologist Pete.
Standing by.
Frequency Cast offers you a tantalising take on technology and is driven by feedback from our listeners via frequencycast.co.uk. In today's show, here's what you'll find. Preview phones, sports and strippers in our new roundup. We focus in on some ways to turn your PC into a TV. There's a demented wasp in the Frequency Cast studio. Plus we get interactive with questions on broadband, plus deck, multi-room and more. First, here's a look at the headlines.
Frequency Cast, now loading. News.
News headlines now on Frequency Cast. And first off, the crawl towards digital TV continues. With parts of the UK due to switch this year, figures from the Ofcom Digital UK Switchover Tracking Survey show that 87% of the UK is now aware of the digital switch. And for the first time, results show that over 50% of UK homes have now gone fully digital. This shows that awareness is improving, but as we get closer to the switch, it seems that 2 out of 5 people in the UK think they'll need help from others before they can go digital. If you know someone that needs some help with a digital switch, perhaps send them a copy of Show 7 of Frequency Cast, where we covered this in more detail. Next, Top Up TV. They've just dropped the price of their Anytime box from £140 to just under £100, presumably in an attempt to get some more customers. The Anytime service is capable of getting up to 100 hours of non-Freeview content downloaded overnight, as well as the Setanta Sports service. Next, mobile phone news. Since our last show, the Nokia E90 handset has become available. This is a successor to the Nokia 9500 and the 9210 devices, and has a full QWERTY keyboard. It's powered by Symbian, has Wi-Fi, and now has a 3.2 meg camera. Remember the Scion Series 5? Well, this is about as close as you can get to a Scion with a mobile phone. In other phone news, our current favourite, the O2 Orbit XDA, has just received a free upgrade to Windows Mobile version 6. See our show notes for the link. Next, two quick sporting headlines. First off, you can now buy a Freeview box that's ready for Setanta Sport. For around £40, you can buy a SageM that comes with 1 month's free Setanta subscription. Secondly, Sky is offering live coverage of Premier League matches on mobile phones, currently available on Orange and Vodafone for a fiver a month. This month, there's not been much in the way of new channel news. We have heard a rumour about UK TV G2 coming to Freeview, but we've not been able to confirm this. However, Freeview viewers can expect Nuts TV and Virgin One soon. Radio-wise, the best story we could find this month was the arrival of Traffic Radio, a 24-hour roads news service available on DAB. Tune in to the hot rocking sound of the Hangar Lane gyratory system hold-ups. And finally, bad news for the Japanese deaf. Their government has just cut a Tokyo TV company's subsidy for a special program aimed at hearing-impaired viewers. The weekly 5-minute show, featuring a newsreader that delivers the headlines in sign language while stripping, will continue without the subsidy, though. Naked Sign Language News will continue to provide the main points to an eager audience.
Arsehole!
For more information on any of these stories, go to our website at www.frequencycast.co.uk.
Frequency Cast, now loading. Focus.
So now it's time for Focus, and Pete's fumbling around in the dark. What are we doing on Fumbling Focus, Pete?
Who said that? Oh, sorry, over there. Hello. Yes, today the listeners have spoken, and via our website, the almost unanimous vote is for us to cover TV on your PC.
TV on your PC. Mm-hmm. So, why do you want to do that?
You can watch your telly on your PC, it's great. Why wouldn't you want to?
Well, because your PC is for work and your telly's for relaxing, you know, leisure time.
Let me give you 3.5 good reasons why you might want TV on your PC.
I'd like to hear you give me half a reason. Go on in.
Well, first off, you can have TV on your PC in a little box up on the top of your screen while you're working. So like background music, you can have background TV to watch while you're working.
A little distracting, don't you think?
Yeah, it can help sometimes, though, if you're doing something boring.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, we talk about Sky Plus and BT Vision.
Oh, yes.
Now, they're TV services that have a box with a hard disk built in. Well, with TV on your PC, you can use your PC's hard disk to record programs, so you can use it as a PVR, if you remember what one of those is.
Perverted potential professional. Probably. Personal video recorder?
Personal video recorder, so use the hard disk on the PC to record your TV and radio programs. And the third thing is you can watch TV over the internet. We cover that in a bit more detail. But that lets you watch TV programs that you've missed, or TV from other countries or for outside of your home.
So it is quite powerful, and more people are finding that using their PC for TV is a good thing.
Well, I'm not entirely convinced, I've got to be honest, but okay, if I did want to do it, how do I do it? Is this software or is this hardware?
Yes.
What?
It is.
What, software or hardware?
Yes. Before we start, I would like to apologise in advance to all you Mac listeners out there, Apple Mac fans that you are. I'm afraid we are PC people, so we're only talking PC. However, much of what we do talk about you can do on a Mac, it's just we don't know how to do it because we're not Mackers.
So you're discriminating from Mac users, so you're not really very PC, are you?
Not at all PC, sorry. Anywho, let us crack on. How can we watch TV on the PC? That's the burning question on your lips, isn't it, Carl?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's prop time. Can I get some props out?
Go on then.
Right. Okay.
Go on then. What do you make of that?
Oh, right. Well, it looks like... what does it look like? Oh, I know what it looks like. It looks like the internal workings of a calculator. Do you remember those old scientific calculators you had at school? And it's attached to a metal bar with a... what's that? An aerial attached to it. Yeah. Why? What is it?
This is actually a TV receiver.
A TV receiver, okay. How's that going to pick up TV? It hasn't even got a screen.
This actually plugs into the back of your PC. If you look around the back of the PC, there's a number of slots, like where you've got your sound card and your video card. This plugs into the back, and as you see, it has an aerial socket. You can connect a TV aerial into it. And basically, that little part of it there is a TV receiver. So to fit one of these, you need to take the back off your machine, find a free PCI slot in your machine, slide it in, tighten up a little screw, and then plug a TV aerial into the back. Then you install software onto your PC, and it should let you use the TV receiver on this card to watch TV.
So basically, like your sound card, it's a TV card. Is it?
Yeah, easy as that, spot on.
So I've actually got it. I understand it, but I don't think I could install one.
Well, luckily enough, there's a solution for people like you. Okay, here comes Exhibit B. So what's that?
Ah, the Stanley Life, found in the kitchen. Oh no, sorry. All right, what's this? Now this looks like, you know those TV aerial boosters? That looks like one of these.
Yeah, a little, yeah. So describe it.
Well, it's about the size of a TV aerial booster. It has a TV and radio input or output. There's a coax, is that right? And has an LED on it, obviously tells you it's on. It has a line out and a line in, and it has an S video in. And at the other end, which is a permanent fixture, is a USB lead and connector.
Yeah, so what you have here is a TV receiver that's a USB rather than one that has to go into the back of your PC. So same principle, aerial goes in that socket there, and that goes into a spare socket on your USB.
Mmm, and it looks quite nice as well. It's that translucent green with a translucent bottom.
And Exhibit 3 here.
Ah, now that would be the candlestick holder in the kitchen.
Killing Major Plum, I know. So what's that?
Well, that looks like a memory stick, a USB memory stick. It's no bigger. Has a USB connector, and it has an aerial on the back, or on the bottom. Is that the bottom, the back? I don't know.
That's the back, yeah. It's got a socket for an aerial. Some of these actually come with an aerial that you can plug in. Other ones just take an ordinary feed from your roof aerial. But effectively, yeah, this is a USB, a lot smaller than the last one we just looked at. Plugs into your laptop, typically. TV aerial into one end, and the rest of it into your laptop. That is also a TV receiver. And again, it does rely on software being installed onto the PC to make it all work.
Mmm, I think I prefer that one.
So that's pretty much your three choices. You've got the one that goes into the back of your PC, you've got a USB box or a little USB dongle that plugs in. There is one very important thing that you need to take care of, though, when choosing one of these. Now, you know we talked about the digital switch?
Yeah, that's where all the old TVs get turned off.
By 2012, all the analog TV services are being switched off and we're all going digital. You can get analog and digital TV PC receivers, so you have to be careful which ones you go for. If you want to get Freeview, obviously you need a digital receiver, and you can get cards and USB boxes that are digital TV receivers.
Right.
And you can get analog ones as well.
So why would you want an analog one when it's going to be redundant soon?
Good question. Yeah, you'd think you just want to be worrying about a digital one at this point. However, if you wanted to connect to the output of, say, your Skybox or your Virgin TV box, the output from those boxes comes out of an aerial socket and it is analog. So if you want to get your Sky or Virgin box connected to your PC, you do need an analog card.
Okay, so an analog card if you want to connect it to Sky or whatever on your PC.
The actual thing you should be looking for is a hybrid card.
Don't tell me, both, yeah?
Correct. Copes with analog and digital, so you can use the analog part of it for connecting to your Sky or your set-top box, and the digital part of it for getting your Freeview. So I'd actually recommend you start looking for a hybrid card or a hybrid USB device for your computer.
And if you hurry up and do that, then you can watch the football, can't you?
Indeed you can, yes.
So, okay, right, so this is all very exciting, but is this going to cost me as much as a TV?
Well, fortunately not. If you go for a basic analog card like the one we're holding there, these are about £20. If you want to look for a USB box, they're around £30 or £40. If you want a hybrid card, they tend to be in the £40 to £50 mark. The one we got here, this was around about £50. It's an HVR card from this company. How would you pronounce that?
Hoppagu. I don't know.
It's actually pronounced Hophog.
No, they've spelt that completely wrong if they want that.
But it looks like it's pronounced Hoppagu.
Hophog. Well, thank you very much for that, Harry Potter. Let's go back to Hogwarts.
Yes, good old Hophog.
Are they Italian?
Just one TV card. Give it to me.
Don't know why, I fancy a cornetto.
Tangle Twister for me, please. Good. Now, just one other question. With these TV cards, do you need a license? Because this is not a TV as such, is it? It's actually a bit of hardware for your computer. So, do you need a license there?
Unfortunately, yes, you do need a TV license. Anything that is classed as a TV receiver has to be licensed, and these effectively are TV receivers. The good news, though, is if you have a TV in the house and that has a license, then you're covered by having an extra receiver for a PC.
Right.
A couple of other things we need to cover about TV on the PC. We've talked about how you connect a TV receiver into your computer, but there are a couple of other ways. First off, there's our good old friend the Slingbox.
Oh yeah, I remember Slingbox.
Yeah, we covered that back in show 3. Basically, this is a box that connects into your TV system and to your broadband and lets you access your TV system from somewhere else, like at work or if you're travelling and maybe out on your laptop and you want to see TV from your home. We have got a little bit of good news on the Slingbox. We've actually now found somewhere that's selling them about 30% cheaper than they were about a month ago. So if you go to our show notes, we'll give you the link to how to get one of these for under £100.
Fantastic.
The other option, of course, is TV over the internet. Now, we covered this a long, long time ago, but we are due to talk about that again because so much has changed.
Good. What's changed?
Well, one of the big things that's happened in the last few weeks is the launch of the BBC iPlayer. Remember that?
Yeah.
You haven't got a clue, have you? Look at your face.
To be honest with you, I haven't got a clue about half the things you say. It sounds like this to me. Blah, 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 technology, blah, 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 technology, blah, blah.
God, the respect you've got for me is awesome, isn't it? The BBC iPlayer is this new service over the internet that lets you watch BBC TV programmes from the last 7 days.
Ooh, wonderful.
It's a pretty nifty system. If you want to watch BBC shows that you've missed, you can. For a while, you've been able to do it with radio, and it's now a pretty nice system to be able to do that with your TV as well. So you can just see a list of TV programmes over the last week, download them to your PC, and watch them at your leisure. Pretty nifty and free.
Yeah, that is good, actually, and especially because the BBC do quality programmes that you are likely to want to go and watch if you miss them.
Noel's House Party.
Apart from that one.
There has been a bit of an interesting controversy about the BBC iPlayer recently. The internet service providers, notably TalkTalk and Tiscali, have been complaining about the potential problems with the BBC iPlayer, which is if a lot of people start downloading TV programmes and doing video over broadband, then broadband's going to grind to a halt, which could be a bit of a problem.
Right, so what are they going to do about that?
Well, there's talk about recovering the cost of rebuilding all the infrastructure to support TV over the internet.
Now, that sounds quite dangerous to me, because before we were talking about licensing and things like that. Does that mean our license fee will go up?
Well, if the internet providers get their way and the BBC have to pay more money to help the internet providers out, it could mean anything. Personally, I don't think that will happen, but it is a bit of a concern at the moment. The other thing is the internet service providers could start throttling.
Throttling? What does that mean?
Yes, the internet providers can do something called throttling, which basically means for certain types of users and certain types of traffic, they include delays so that it's a slower service for those that make a lot of use of bandwidth.
Oh, thank goodness you let go. Yeah.
So, there is going to be some further discussion about that. And the future is looking a little bit odd just at the moment for video over the internet.
Maybe it's all going to be a case for the X-Files.
Maybe. A few other things to cover. As well as the BBC's iPlayer, there's also Channel 4's 4OD, 4 On Demand. You can get on-demand TV from Sky and Channel 5. And ITV's just recently started live streaming of their TV shows as well. Two other services worth giving a quick mention to. Apart from the UK broadcasters, there's also Juiced, or Yoast as it's meant to be pronounced. This is a TV over over the internet service that's finding its own content providers. And there's also a service called Jump TV. This offers over 250 TV channels from 70 different countries, so it's great if you want to watch TV from outside your home country.
Sounds cool.
So that's pretty much it. That is it in a nutshell for TV on your PC.
Ooh. So that's everything about TV on the PC.
Or Mac.
Large fries and a Coke, please.
Thank you.
So, Pete, what's that thing flapping about in your bag?
New toy.
New toy.
Can I play with it?
Look. What is this?
It's a remote. It's like a traditional... No one's in there. There's no point knocking it. It's a traditional remote. It's like a remote control car remote. I like these sort of things. So what does this one do? What's it for?
Ready?
Look. Oh, my. Oh, how cool is that? Oh, wow. Let's have a look. No. Give it here. Oh, that's light. That's very light. Oh, it's only made of, like, polystyrene. Good grief. This isn't going to work, surely.
Is it a helicopter?
Helicopter. Yes, helicopter. Vertulik.
Why are you wearing your tunic?
So, we switch this on. Look.
Wow. It's got a blue flashing light. Where is that blue flashing light coming from? Oh, it's deep inside the... Well. Look at that.
So what we actually have here is what they describe as the world's smallest and lightest remote control helicopter. So this thing is really, really light. This is made out of polystyrene. And it is, but it's sort of this hardened polystyrene stuff. Little flashing light in it, two rotor blades on the top and a tail fin. And it comes with this remote controller as well. So this is a little helicopter. Let's just fire it up here. So that's just the sound of the rotor spinning. Let me just put this on the desk and see what happens. And we've obviously got some studio equipment I'd rather not damage with this, but we'll give it a go. Are you ready? Point the mic in that direction and we'll see what happens. I'll try and take off.
This is air traffic control. You're clear for takeoff.
Well, there she goes.
Mayday.
Oops.
Helicopter down.
I think, oh, look, our producer's just come in to look.
Look at this. That's good. Magic device.
Excellent.
So you're going to show him at work? It looks like we're going to have a day off.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go here.
You're a bit of a crash lander, aren't you, really? Try that again.
That was not a very clever launch, because it was on the slope when it took off.
I think he should work for air traffic control.
It looks like a demented wasp.
The thing about this is it's actually fairly indestructible. We've crashed it into the wall about three times already, and it's completely intact, which is good news. So are we all fairly impressed with this then?
Yeah, I'm.
Great fun, yes.
Yes, it looks really good.
We've got obviously the helicopter itself, which has a receiver built into it, flashing light, rechargeable battery, and the main controller there, down left right, takes batteries. It's actually quite a clever little bit of technology, and being so light, obviously the aerodynamicness of it is quite important. And I think these are great fun.
Yeah, it's got two motors, hasn't it? Two individual motors.
Yeah, they're completely independent. If you power it up, you see the tail spins separately from the main rotors.
Micro motors.
So anyone care to want to guess a price on this little beastie?
Yeah, I'd probably pitch it around the £45 to £55 mark.
Ooh, probably 50.
65 to 70, I should think.
It's actually £25 from the supplier we found, and we've actually managed to get a £5 off voucher. So if you want this for 20 quid, go to our website, and we have a £5 off voucher and a little picky of this in flight.
Now, can we get our web guy to create a big red button for that, so that we can hit the big red button and get the £5 discount?
I'm sure we can have a word with our webmaster, as they're probably called.
Yeah, the web guy. Yeah, the guy. It's always tangled up.
That's right, yeah.
Big red button then on the screen. Where should we put it? Bottom left or something? Or where do you want to put it?
How about the top of the show notes?
Okay. Shall we let the producer have a go at flying it?
Yes.
Power up on the power stick there.
Is this your first time at piloting an aircraft?
Yes.
I'm going to be going left. Very gently on the left. That's it. Cool. Yep. That's good. Hang on, right, this is the clever bit, it's just... Oh, it's... Hang on, gonna bring it down a bit. Down. That's it. Yep. That's it. No. Oh well, never mind.
He would have been alright if you hadn't tried that loop-de-loop. It looks more like a moth, actually.
Keep away from the light.
Oh, that's where the wall is.
Surprisingly, that doesn't actually damage it. It's pretty rugged.
Yeah, it's a rather robust piece of lightweight material. Are you sure this wasn't from the Roswell incident?
Could well have been a weather balloon.
No, it wasn't. I saw four little green men come out.
I must admit, though, this is an awful lot of fun, isn't it? Even our producers are into this.
Yeah, well, our producer and one of the... who was that other lady?
I lose track of the people that walk in and out of here.
If I'd known that was how we get the producer into the studio, I'd have told him to bring lunch.
God, the toys we have to bring in. Look at that.
Frequency cast. Now loading. Interaction.
Time to take a look at your mails and calls in interaction. Pete, what have our listeners been saying?
Well, we had a great reaction to our Getting Broadband feature in Show 17. We had a blog comment from Gomez saying that Tiscali is in the process of taking over Pipex, and the plans are that everything will move to the Tiscali infrastructure. Gomez was also disappointed we only mentioned the big boys, and didn't talk about the availability of many smaller players who can offer cheaper and more reliable broadband.
Steve Noah suggested some links for us, including one for a free download accelerator for Tiscali customers unable to get broadband.
And we had a message from Lindsay Reed, surprised to hear that we didn't mention B Broadband, who offer broadband speeds of up to 24 meg on an increasing number of exchanges. She also mentioned the option to get broadband via satellite for those too far out from an exchange. However, this isn't a particularly cheap option, with the equipment and installation being nearly £1,000, plus £60 a month rental for just half a meg.
Ouch, bit costly. Our next, a message from Janet Lodge. I have four TVs in my house. Do I need a skybox for each television in my home?
Two options, Janet. First off, you can run an aerial cable from your skybox to each TV in your house. The limitation here is that all connected TV sets can only see the single output from your skybox, so you can only watch the one channel in different rooms. To be able to get different Sky channels in each room, you'll need Sky Multiroom, one box for each telly. Sky can install this for you. Each Sky dish can support up to four Sky boxes or two Sky Plus boxes. More on this in our show notes. Now here's a Podline call.
The cassette thing, the piece, the plastic thing. I wanted to know if you could connect it externally, or does it have to be connected internally, you know, slotted inside the computer? Because I've only done it once before with a DVD recorder, so I'm not that confident about doing it. And also I wanted to know the cost. I can't seem to find the cost.
The Plus Deck is the same size as a CD-ROM or DVD-ROM for your PC and slots inside your PC's case. The Plus Deck allows you to dub audio cassettes to MP3 files. The price is £80, and sadly it only works as an internal drive. We have, however, found an external cassette drive for PCs that works using a USB. A little more pricey at £100, but much easier to connect. See our show notes.
Next, we heard from Nige. He's asking whether he should connect Sky Plus to his new LCD TV via SCART or S-Video. Pete.
Hi Nige. Technically, S-Video offers better video quality than composite, although many people still prefer watching a composite signal. It's important to note that SCART leads carry both video and audio, while an S-Video lead just carries video. If you do decide to go with S-Video, you'll need to connect audio to your TV separately, typically using two phono leads.
Yeah, thanks Pete. Oh, your phone's flashing. What's that thing at the top of the screen there?
Hang on. That G, that's GPRS, because I've been web browsing.
No, the brown stuff.
Oh, that? Oh, that's just Wappuccino.
Oh, right. What's next?
Couple of quick hellos. First off, hi to Vinny.
What, the bearded butterfly?
Yep, that's the one. And also hi to Gareth Mitchell from the BBC Digital Planet programme.
What, the podcast?
Yep, he's been in touch via our Facebook, so hi to you, Gareth. Great feature on the Apollo moon photos, by the way. It's a shame we never landed on the moon, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to think we had until you told me otherwise.
It's all a huge conspiracy. Have you seen the film Capricorn 1?
Oh, our fossil-finding digital dinosaur has got in touch again. You got in touch regarding the phone we covered in the last show, and you called me a traitor for liking it. I can't use it. I couldn't even work out how to make telephone calls on it. Too complicated for his own good, if you ask me. Anyway, he goes on to say, if you want a picture show on the wall, get yourself a Super 8 film projector and camera. The one my dad bought in the 1950s is still going strong, and I spend many a happy evening watching myself as a lad enjoying caravanning holidays in Devon and Cornwall. Hey, and my understanding is that if you go to Devon or Cornwall on your holidays, you can probably pick up a fossil or two on the beach, if you know what I mean. One now from listener George. He wants to watch Virgin Media TV shows on his laptop over the net. He's heard Sky offers this, but not Virgin. Is this true?
Yes, I'm afraid so, George. Sky offers some of their TV content over the internet via Sky Anytime, but Virgin doesn't yet offer this. One option for you, George, is good old Slingbox mentioned earlier in the show. This'll let you watch the output of your VBox over the net remotely. And now, of course, it's much cheaper.
Well, that's it for interaction and for this frequency cast.
please get in touch with your comments or questions on what you've heard today. You can call our pod line, the numbers 0208 133 4567. You can also leave a voice message using Skype. Our Skype ID is FrequencyCast.
Or you can send us a message via our website.
You can also now be our friends on Facebook. Just search FrequencyCast to find our group. We're also after your help in spreading the word about our podcast. So if you have any suggestions on how we could get some publicity, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Remember to check out the show notes for this show, Show 18, for more info on what we've covered today. Find us at www.frequencycast.co.uk. Well, that's all for our heightening, enlightening, hybrid, hard-hitting, hot-pogging happiness. Catch you on the next show.
FrequencyCast. Shutdown in progress.
Well, that's all for this show. Keep the feedback coming, and make sure you visit our website for details of what we discussed in today's tantalising take on technology. Point your browser at www.frequencycast.co.uk.
FrequencyCast. Shutdown complete.
Right, who's driving home?
Oh, I will. Stand by for takeoff.